concerns the water right application of Pulte Homes, Pebble Creek, and the city and county of Brumfield. We're ready to hear from the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honor, Justices. I'm John Acold. I'm appearing on behalf of the Farmers Reservoir and Irrigation Company, the appellant in this matter, and with me is my partner, John C. Acold. The action before you concerns change of water rights that were requested by the city of Brumfield in water court for water district number, not water division number one. It involves two rights decreed in separate proceedings to two separate appropriators to a structure known as the Slate Ditch, one of which bears a priority date of 1893, the other bears a priority date of 1917. It involves the change of a storage right in the Coal Ridge Waste Reservoir, which fills off of the lower Boulder Ditch on its own priority. And it involves several decrees that were adjudicated to the Brighton Ditch, an 1863 priority and an 1871 priority, both of which priorities were adjudicated in the general adjudication of 1883. And it involves two priorities, an 1863 and an 1873 priority, the Lupton Bottoms Ditch, which also was adjudicated in the 1883 general adjudication. We have also addressed in this appeal how accretions to a ditch that is a net losing ditch are to be considered for administration and change of water right purposes, with particular regard to how a net losing ditch is considered in light of this court's long stated rule from Comstock v. Ramsey in 1913 that interception of tributary water requires a separate priority for the diversion of such water to be lawful. In this particular case, the question is, does that rule apply to a ditch that is a net losing ditch, where more water flows out of the ditch than accretes to the ditch in various reaches, so as to constitute the unlawful diversion of tributary water by a ditch?
Can I ask you, when you start here, if you would just identify when you filed your statement of opposition, what issues did you raise?
Issues were expansion of the water rights that were the subject of the application and the requirement of the applicant to meet its burden of proof with regard to the lawfulness of the adjudication.
Okay, you raised those issues but presented no evidence regarding them?
We did present evidence with regard to the historical development, particularly of the Brighton and the Lupton Bottoms Ditch, which was Franco Exhibit 4. As to the other issues, the evidence was presented by way of the Brumfield exhibits, as we will address. It was not necessary to go beyond the exhibits that Brumfield itself presented with regard to the other water rights that are the subject of this proceeding. And the issue is one of what the legal principles applicable to the facts presented by those exhibits was. The issues that we raised were also...
Before you continue, I'm just confused about that as well. So as a preliminary question, with respect to your first issue, because of the fact, I guess, that you're asking for remand, I am actually a little confused as to the extent to which you disagree with the decree. Could you be a little more clear about that?
We disagree with the decree in that the court disregarded and refused to consider whether the senior right on the Slate Ditch constituted an unlawful expansion.
Well, and my question is, had the court considered it,
No. What
difference would that make? If the court had considered it, what difference would that make in the decree?
If the court had considered it and comes to the conclusion that there was an unlawful expansion of the senior right in the Slate Ditch, the amount of historical use that was credited to the city of Broomfield will be reduced. If the court considers whether or not the storage rights for the Coal Ridge Waste Reservoir were in fact out of priority, as the evidence established, the amount of water available for credit to the city of Broomfield would be reduced. And if the court determines that the senior water rights in the left and bottom ditch and the Brighton ditch were unlawfully expanded by the extension of those ditches past the original intent of the appropriators for those ditch systems. The amount of water that is available for lawful credit to the city of Broomfield will be substantially reduced.
Mr. Akol?
All of those have a very great effect on the amount of transferable yield.
What's confusing to me, and maybe it's just trying to zero in a little bit on what Justice Martinez asked, was you used the term in the brief and just now, if the court considered
yes.
this evidence, and typically, at least in my experience, you know, you say that the court erred as a matter of law and it's reversible. So I'm a little confused. I mean, is there something specifically in error about the order that Judge Klein issued?
Yes.
And if so, what specific paragraphs? Are you saying that paragraphs 59 and 60 of his May 14th order are factually erroneous?
The issues that we raise by way of this appeal with regard to the slate ditch, that the court made a finding on. The court made a finding as to the slate ditch that the senior 1893 priority was in fact adjudicated for a parcel that was situated in section 24 called the Salinas parcel. That we believe is clear error. And the reason why it is clear error is as we recited in our briefs and as I will relate to you this morning, the original 1893 slate ditch priority was adjudicated to two individuals, Mr. Jung and Mr. Slate, for a ditch 1.75 miles long, and their lands were identified as being in section 35 and 36 of that township. The evidence is absolutely clear with the, and that right was adjudicated in 1915 to Mr. Jung and Mr. Slate. In 1917, the owners of the parcel in section 17, 2 miles north of the original ditch, filed to extend the slate ditch, and in fact did extend the slate ditch to section 24. And they adjudicated that right to themselves in 1924. There is a very clear distinction between what was adjudicated in 1915 and what was adjudicated in 1924 and the 1893 right on the slate ditch was not adjudicated for the Salinas parcel in section 24. The evidence candidly is overwhelmingly clear in that regard. That sets up the consideration of whether or not the 1893 right was unlawfully expanded.
Can I stop you right there just to make sure I understand, because of the, it seemed to me, the back and forth in the briefs. You're saying evidence in the record that was admitted at the hearing on this at the trial, not anything that you asserted in a post-decree motion, would indicate that the judge's findings were clearly erroneous.
That's
correct. Right?
I will refer the court to Broomfield Exhibit 144, which was the statement of claim for the original slate ditch, which showed the location of the ditch, a map of where the lands were located, and the adjudication in 1915. The testimony in the record, the evidence in BRM Broomfield Exhibit 160, is the testimony concerning the extension of the slate ditch in 1917, where the owner of the Salinas parcel, the prior owner of the Salinas parcel, said, "We began irrigating the parcel in section 24 in 1917, for which they got a 1917 decree." There is in the evidence before the court no other conflicting evidence. So it is absolutely clear that the 1893 priority was not adjudicated for the lands at section 24, and rather section 24 received a 1917 priority. Now the distinction for that is Broomfield got credit for their pro rata share of the 1893 priority that was used on the section 24 parcel. The question is that an expansion of the 1893 priority? And the reason we don't have any resolution of that is the court avoided consideration of that question by simply saying, "I'm finding that the 1893 priority was adjudicated for the section 24 parcel." And in doing so, that's a clear error issue.
you're expressing that one as a clearly erroneous finding. It seems, though, broadly, is the thrust of your argument that Broomfield simply failed to meet its burden?
No, our thrust on that one is that the court refused to consider the issue of expansion on the slate ditch because it made a erroneous determination that the senior right was in fact adjudicated for the Section 24 parcel. That's distinguished from the other error and abuse of discretion that we are arguing, which relates to the Coleridge Ditch, the Brighton Ditch, and the Lupton Bottoms Ditch. As to those rights and the issues of expansion on those rights, we're not claiming clear error because the court expressly said that based upon the presentation to the court, the way that the court wanted, as I'll address, in the form of a decree, the court said, I will not consider the evidence, Franco's arguments regarding the expansion of those rights because of its determination that the analysis that was submitted to the court in accord with the order of February 11th, 2009, that we were to submit our proposed decree in the form of a decree, noting where it was argument and where it diverged from the decree that was submitted to the court by Broomfield, and proposing decree language for the court's consideration, it said that the Franco analysis and the presentation of the decree language, based upon the evidence in the record, no other references outside of what was in the record of evidence, which called into Franco's proposed brief, but the court said, I will not consider that because the analysis was not presented in trial. The evidence was presented in trial. I fully agree that the analysis was not presented in trial because the analysis was done as any court would do. We were directed to submit our proposal as a decree. That was different than at the end of the trial, at the end of the presentation of evidence in January, the court said, submit your post-trial briefs, and that was January 27th. That's fine. On February 11th, the court on its own said, I'm entering an order. What I want from you, counsel, is I want you to submit a proposed decree. I want that decree to be based upon the decree that had been tendered by Broomfield as the applicant. I want you to note where your argument differs from what was proposed, and I want you to propose language for the decree in accordance with your position. Franco willingly did that. There was an assertion that Franco claims that because the court requested or directed us to submit a proposed decree, that we were somehow prejudiced. That is not the case. We willingly submitted the format requested by the court. We submitted a proposed decree based upon the Broomfield decree. At page 10 to 37 of the proposed decree that was submitted by Franco, we clearly denominated the section entitled argument. We clearly referred to evidence in the record for every single position that we presented in our proposed decree. We analyzed the evidence relating to these rights. We stated the conclusion with respect to those rights as a decree should do. And we submitted that to the court saying, here's where we differ from Broomfield. We believe that the evidence showed that the Salinas Ditch, 1893, was not adjudicated for the Salinas parcel on the slate. We believe that the evidence that was in the record, Broomfield Exhibits 243 and 244, regarding the diversions and the storage of the Coleridge Waste Reservoir rights, showed that for the period of record, 60% of the storage rights were out of priority. That was what the evidence showed. What we did in our proposed decree, we compared the evidence, the diversion records that were submitted by the commissioner for District 6, where the water is diverted, and the storage records from Division 2, where the reservoir is located. We put them side by side, and we said, compare them. Compare the diversions in priority with the storage records from Division 2.
Counsel, can I stop you there?
Yes.
So I guess just to wrap you back where you started, so your position is that comparison that you did, that's not new evidence? I mean, help me understand, I mean, what that is. Obviously, you're saying the court misunderstood that as new evidence.
I'm saying that's what the court characterized the circumstance as because candidly, I do not believe that the court wished to address the issues of expansion, and understood that by disregarding the evidence and the argument that it did not have to address the argument of expansion. Now, to address specifically your question, the actual evidence in the record for the Coleridge Waste Reservoir was Roomfield Exhibit 243, which are the diversion records maintained by the Water Commissioner for District 6 on Boulder Creek, where the diversions are made. And the 244 is the storage records that are maintained by District 2, where the reservoir is located. So you have two different commissioners. One keeps track of the diversions, the other keeps track of the dates of storage. In this particular case, Broomfield's engineers said that they were basing their analysis of the Coleridge Waste Reservoir on a presumption that all diversions and storage were in priority. But the only evidence in the record submitted by Broomfield showed that 60% of the claimed storage did not match up with in-priority diversions from 243, the record of in-priority diversions from Boulder Creek. The inevitable conclusion is the Coleridge Waste Reservoir stored the tailwater off of the very senior lower Boulder Right, where it gets its water. So, yes, the evidence was in the record. The comparison in submitting a decree is not new evidence. It's what the court should do. The court should say, I have the diversion and the storage records in front of me. Was it in or out of priority? And a court should say, I analyze the record, I come to a factual conclusion, and I apply the law. So what we did in submitting our proposed decree in that regard, when we made that comparison and submitted it as part of our proposal, we said, you don't get credit for out-of-priority diversions. And the evidence showed that 60% of the...
Well, here's what I think the problem is posed, and maybe you agree or don't agree, but it seems the trial judge, and we can't manage the trial. The trial is for people to get up there and present experts, the analysis, the documentation, from which the court can then prepare a decree. Apparently, what you seem to be asking for is a sort of an engineering of what the court's decree ought to look like based on the presentation of no evidence in a situation where we clearly have a procedure set up that would require the applicant to go forward and show a prima facie case that it's met its burden, and then an opponent to present an analysis, additional evidence, contrary evidence that can be examined in the adversary method. It appears that Judge Klein ruled that this was a backdoor effort to engineer the case. Now, would you present your viewpoint a little bit better than the court didn't consider? Because the court had the evidence, the court's there watching the witnesses, hearing the experts, and its duty is to come up with a decree, right? Not your duty. Your duty was to comment on it.
No, our duty was to present a proposed decree, including the language of a proposed decree.
But the applicant has to produce a decree, right?
Pardon?
The applicant has to tender a decree. That's in the rules.
That's correct. What
Judge Klein wanted you to do was, in effect, show where you disagreed with the decree and propose language for it so that he could look at that.
That's right.
Presentation.
That's correct.
But you're asking for a remand based on some sort of allegation that he didn't consider the evidence before him.
Here's what the court...
In the absence of presenting somebody who could be examined regarding their analysis.
In all due respect, Justice Hobbs, the evidence does not require any further presentation on when the storage rights of the Coleridge Reservoir were in priority, because the diversion and the storage records were in evidence.
Well, my understanding, though, of how the process works is generally you put on an expert witness who examines the diversion records and gives a contrary view of what the applicant has proposed, right?
The applicant relied on a presumption. The evidence, and here's what Judge Klein said with regard to the comparison of the diversion records and the storage records. It was in paragraph 30 of its findings. He said, Broomfield asserts that the analysis was created after trial. Absolutely true. The analysis was done in the preparation of the decree. It was not offered as evidence at trial. Also true. It's not evidence. It's an analysis of the evidence. And then he said, therefore, the court will disregard the table, that is, the comparison of the diversions and the storage, and any analysis or argument relying thereon. The court unequivocally said, I will not consider your argument. I will not consider the evidence.
I'm also having a little problem with your argument. Are you saying that the analysis doesn't require any technical expertise?
Yes.
And it's in the equivalent of, say, adding up a column of numbers?
It is comparing one number on one day to another number on the same day.
So that your argument is that you didn't need to put on an expert in statistics or whatever.
Absolutely.
This is just a totaling up or comparison of those two exhibits you mentioned.
Any person can look at the diversion on a date and the storage on a date and say, do those numbers match?
Okay.
They don't.
Getting back to what you just said and what you read from the decree, I didn't hear from what you read that the trial judge was saying that he would not look at the two rates and make any comparison. What he said was that he wouldn't look at the table that you submitted and consider argument based on that.
No, he said
that's what I thought I heard you read.
He said, I will disregard the tables and any analysis or argument relying thereon. So he clearly...
Relying thereon meaning the tables?
The comparison was in the decree citing the diversion in the storage records. So that's what he said he was going to disregard. Now, the same approach was taken with regard to the claim of expansion on the senior rights for the Brighton and the Lupton Bottoms ditch. Those ditches each had a parallel development form where there was a predecessor in interest in each separate in each ditch who in 1863 made a claim for a water right and constructed, in the case of the Brighton ditch, a ditch that was 4 miles long, and in the case of the Lupton Bottoms ditch, a ditch that was 5 miles long. 10 years thereafter, the Lupton Bottoms ditch was organized, and approximately 10 years thereafter, the Brighton ditch company was organized. In the case of the Brighton ditch, they purchased the senior right from the Elkhorn ditch people. In the case of the Lupton Bottoms ditch, they purchased the right of the Big Bottom ditch people and then proceeded to expand the ditches by 7 miles almost in each case, bearing an 1873 and an 1874 water right. So far, so good. The question is that where you have a senior right claimed by one party and a second party coming in, does that raise the issue of expansion of that right? Now, what we presented in the case in front of the court was Franco Exhibit 4, which are the Water Commissioner records from 1893 to 1930. We presented those because those are the records that were used in another case, the Franco 403 case that you'll be hearing more about, to quantify the Burlington right in that 403 case. That 403 case is coming up on appeal. It's due to be briefed, opening briefs are April 16th. We are not arguing the substance of those Water Commissioner records. We argued that in front of the trial court by saying, this is what you did in 403. These are the records that you used to adjudicate the Burlington 1885 right. If you're right, Judge, that those are the records that define the historic period, then you must use those records in this case to adjudicate the Brighton and the Lupton Bottoms ditch cases. Now, he refused to do that as well. What he said was, if the court looks at Franco Exhibit 4, the Water Commissioner records, they are handwritten. They relate to every ditch on the South Platte for the years 1891 to 1930. They are difficult to read, and they're time-consuming to go through and to parse out the specific ditch and the data for that ditch. But that is what Franco did in submitting this proposed decree. It went through what was in evidence, Franco Exhibit 4, which were the Water Commissioner records. and it applied the same principles that the court applied in the 403 case that had just come down about 60 days before. We disagree with what the court did in 403. That's why we're appealing it with many others. But if the court was correct, and if this court should affirm what the court did in the 403 case, then these records are material to the determination of the historic period of use for these senior rights. And we said in this case that is what you did in 403, Judge. You must be consistent and apply those here. But he didn't.
Mistake. I'm still kind of flummoxed about the procedural posture here. First question is, did you, in your post-decree motions, attach any expert that attested to whatever the content was?
No.
It was just submitted by you as an attorney.
It was submitted referencing
the specific exhibits. I've seen part of it, but not the entire part. I've seen part of your motion, but I haven't seen the full thing.
We didn't do a motion.
Well, whatever, all right, I'm sorry, the decree.
Yes,
the post-decree. What about, did you make a closing argument?
No, the judge did not want a closing argument.
You made no statements whatsoever about positions in the case?
No.
What about opening statement? Did you, some of this
we
stuff
had
was...
brief opening statements.
Did you reflect any of the kind of content that you raised in the post-decree motion?
We didn't make a post-decree motion. We did submit a proposed decree.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of it in terms of...
Yes. The issues were identified to the court that we were there for, which was the expansion of those rights. And the evidence on those rights was made from the evidence that was submitted with the
well,
case.
But you saw, you had discovery, so you were aware of the evidence that Broomfield was going to put in, right?
And we're comfortable with it. We're comfortable with making the legal arguments off of the Broomfield exhibits. Specifically, the 1883 decree for the Brighton and the Lupton Bottoms ditch, that decree says, in the case of the Lupton Bottoms ditch, that the original ditch was 4 miles long, and goes on and gives some characteristics. It says said ditch is entitled to priority number, and it's the 1863 decree. And then it says the extension of that ditch occurred in 1874. As to that extension, it is entitled to priority 1873. That same decree that adjudicated the Brighton ditch said the original ditch was 5 miles long. Said ditch is entitled to the 1863 decree. And then it goes on to say that ditch was extended in 1873 for approximately 7 miles, and that ditch was entitled to the 1873 decree. So you don't have to go beyond that to make a determination that the 1863 rights in each of those ditch companies were used beyond where they were.
Well, it's hard for me to sort this out, and none of us have read the record, but the first general adjudication occurs in the early 1880s,
1883.
Right? So, you know, it's hard to tell in these old decrees, you know, what was conditional, what was absolute, what was in progress. And
they were
the benchmark, you know, that we use later on is the original adjudication, isn't it?
Yes.
As to what was decreed that went before. Is that right or not?
They were both original adjudications. They both were decreed absolute. They were all decreed absolute in 1883. And there's no question that the ditches existed to their extent in 1883, with the exception of the Lupton Bottoms ditch, that in the record before the court, which were the minutes of the Lupton Bottoms ditch company, there was a further extension of that ditch in 1903 and a further extension of that ditch in 1907, shown by the record. The 1863 right and the 1874 right were used throughout the entire system, and credit was given to Broomfield for their pro rata share of that use. So, and what the court said in that regard was exactly the same as it said with the Coleridge ditch data. It says, I refuse to consider the data or the argument, because it said the analysis that was submitted as part of the decree constituted new evidence. And we firmly believe that submitting a proposed decree, analyzing the evidence in the record and citing every conclusion to the record, is not the submission of new evidence.
What do you want us to do if we were to agree with you? You want the evidence reopened?
We have asked the court, not the evidence reopened necessarily. We're comfortable with the evidence.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Do you have evidence you want us to cut?
We have evidence we want the court to consider below that it didn't consider.
That you didn't present, or is it a re-argument of the evidence the court had in front of?
It is evidence that was presented predominantly by Broomfield in the record that we made our case from. It was presented and is in the record. We simply want the court, this court, to say to the water court, you should consider whether or not that constitutes expansion, because you didn't consider it. That's what we want. We're not asking that the record be reopened. We're asking that the court say to the court, you should reconsider, or not reconsider, you should consider. I know my time is out. Let me simply note for the court, there was one other issue that we didn't get to, and that is how accretions to a net losing ditch are to be considered. In this particular case, the court said both the Brighton and the Lupton Bottoms ditch gain in stretches and lose in stretches, but they're net losing ditches. On that basis, you don't have to subtract the accretions from the total water available for the shareholders. We believe that that is an appropriate principle. What we're asking this court to do is to confirm that, because we're asking for consistency. And we're not asking, and we're not hiding the ball on that. In the 403 case.
So to be clear, you're appealing from an issue with which you have no disagreement regarding the court's order.
We have disagreement that the court is inconsistent. Because in the 403 case,
I think we've gone way
over. He deducted it. And in this case, he said you don't have to deduct. We're asking for consistency. That's what we're asking for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I am Harvey Curtis. I represent the city and county of Broomfield. I am joined at council table by Sheila Stack and David Keeter. Good morning. The water court properly found that no injury would result to water rights of others as a result of the change decree. This is the important finding in any change decree. Fryco did not present any evidence at trial. There was no evidence that presented that Fryco owns any water rights, let alone that any such water rights would be injured. The water court properly rejected Fryco's post-trial attempt to present new evidence in the form of analyses of the existing trial evidence. The trial court reasoned that Broomfield had neither the opportunity to cross-examine the new analysis or offer rebuttal to the new evidence. The court's correct. The water court properly determined that the parcels on which Broomfield's water rights had historically been used were irrigated pursuant to the original decrees. The water court properly found that the diversions from Boulder Creek for storage in Coleridge Waste Reservoir and another drainage on the South Platte River were in priority, and that there was no contrary evidence. The water court's determinations to allow post-trial briefing and as to the format of that briefing was within the court's sound discretion under Rule 121. Fryco failed to preserve any claim of prejudice by not making any motion for new trial in the trial court to present such new evidence.
Mr. Curtis, in your briefs, you say that the post-trial evidence consisted of expert analysis. And Mr. Acoff says, no, it wasn't expert analysis. I misunderstood that from reading the briefs. Now, is that right?
There's no authorship noted in the brief as to who created the tables. There are 17 to 18 pages of graphs and tables that are in.
Modern technology that, young children can do that sort of stuff.
They could, but would you accept it as evidence?
I don't know if I accept it as evidence, but I might accept it as argument.
Well, I think it was more than argument. I think it was an analysis.
Well, could you elaborate on that? Because that point's a little, at least to me, I don't quite get.
With regard to the Coleridge Waste Reservoir, the headgate is in Boulder Creek. The storage location is almost on the South Platte River at a place called Coleridge Waste Reservoir, which is also Sandhill Lake. Sandhill Lake has a total capacity, this is in the record, of about 700 acre feet. and it receives other water than the storage right for this Coleridge Waste Reservoir, which is 199 acre feet. Sandhill Lake receives water from the Colorado Big Thompson Project, and it serves as a forebay, which is an upfront storage reservoir to deliver that CBT water to the Platte Valley Canal, also known as the Evans Number 2 Ditch. So there's other water that goes through that reservoir. At trial, we had the Water Commissioner for Water District 2, Robert Stahl, testify as to the records. Robert Stahl testified there are many colors or different types of water stored in that reservoir, including CBT water, which he calls Trans Mountain water, Trans District water, which he called the water under the 199 acre feet decree, other water, which is stored out of priority, which is water that's not decreed to Coleridge Waste Reservoir, which does not belong to our 199 acre feet. And he administers that last right as being either released immediately or if there's a free river on the South Platte, he'll let the owners of that reservoir split the water, which are the Platte Valley Irrigation Company and the Lufkin Meadows Ditch Company. But we didn't claim any of that water or any of the CBT water. Mr. Stahl testified that he always administered the trans-district water in priority, that he did not store any water that was tailwater from any other water rights against that water right. The other evidence was that Mr. Cantrell testified.
What has that got to do with the post-decree motion, Mr. Acol?
Well, let me finish.
Oh, okay. It's a long... I couldn't remember.
There's a lot of evidence on
that. I'm not questioning the evidence. I just don't understand the conclusion.
Well, the Cantrell, who was the Secretary Treasurer, testified the way the reservoir stores is it calls for the water by their water ditch rider, calling the ditch rider on the lower Boulder Ditch. Lower Boulder Ditch rider contacts Bob Carlson, who's the Water Commissioner for District 6, which is Boulder Creek, and he releases the water. And Carlson testified that the records in District 6 show water stored, but it's stored in priority as opposed against District 6.
What's the conclusion out of that, that just showing the diversion records and asserting out of priority doesn't make it so?
That's true. And the analysis that, or the evidence, I call it evidence, that Mr. Acol presented attempted to show that there were certain days when the days didn't exactly match when water was shown to be diverted from District 6 and delivered into Coleridge Waste Reservoir in District 2.
And that required expert testimony?
That required, well, we didn't have a chance to rebut it.
No, I understand that. I'm not talking about the rebuttal. I just meant
it's testimony, whether or not it's expert. The judge didn't characterize
it. Why is it testimony if it's in the evidence, if it's part of the record?
Because it's analysis of how the diversions occurred in District 6 versus District 2.
Is that different than argument of counsel or something?
The underlying assumption that Broomfield's engineers made was that the water would not have been allowed to be diverted from District 6 than if it were not in priority. Mr. Acol endorsed call records in his exhibit list, but never offered any call records at trial on behalf of FRICO. What he did was he assumed that if the dates didn't match, that the District 6 water rights were diverted out of priority into District 2. He did not put any evidence to show what priority was in effect on the in District 6 on the date those diversions were made.
Had you been able to cross-examine this?
No, I'd love to.
What would you have done?
I would have asked questions along the lines of what was the priority in District 6 when this diversion occurred on, say, June 26, 2004? And the testifying witness said, well, I don't know. Would there be no evidence that the water was diverted out of priority?
So if I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but it sounds to me like what you're really objecting to is there was a total lack of foundation for this information.
Yes, and there was no chance to cross-examine and no chance for rebuttal.
All right, now your opponent would say that the foundation for this information was already contained within the record with information, and by foundation you understand I mean the authority, the how we know what we know kind of part of a trial was already contained within the record because this information was being used, had been used in another trial. and referred to in this one. Is that not correct?
Well, that's different evidence than what we're talking about with regard to Coal Ridge Waste Reservoir.
But it's part of the analysis.
It's a different water right.
But it's part of the analysis, sir?
It's a different analysis. There's a separate appendix in the FRICO post-trial brief and the proposed decree, which is Appendix 2.
So there are two charts that we're talking about here?
Appendix 2 is a series of tables.
Okay, so it's a different table, but it's part of, let's say, our appellate concern?
Yes.
Okay, so isn't it true that, or is it true, I really am quite confused at this point, that that evidence or that material, let's call it that, was already contained in the record, that the foundation for that material was contained within the record?
The Water Court considered FRICO Exhibit 4, mm-hmm. which was in the record. The Water Court found that because the FRICO Exhibit 4 showed varying lengths of the ditch, the Lupton Bottom ditch, over several years. Sometimes there was no record. 9 years, there was no record of the length. Other years, the length was 7 miles. Other years, it was 11. It was 12. It was 15. Then it was 6. They decided that those records were too ambiguous to give them any credence.
So
relied on the actual decrees, which said the ditch was 11 miles long at the time the decree was entered.
So that,
in 83.
So you objected to that exhibit?
We objected in our post-trial response to his brief that evidence was not in the record and the analysis should not be considered by the trial court. The analysis, not the record. The court did consider FRICO 3 and decided it was not evidence on which it could base its determination. It decided the decrees themselves were unambiguous and therefore the court could rely on those based on the Farmers Highland case.
Could I follow up on this same topic but just phrasing it slightly different from so that I can understand? Are we only arguing here about how complex the inference would have to be from evidence that was undisputed evidence that was admitted in the record, or are you arguing that there was no evidence in the record from which an inference could be drawn as FRICO wants us to draw it? Because I took it what he was saying was, what your opponent was saying was, from evidence that you yourself admitted, all of the undisputed facts necessary for his conclusion were already there in the record. Are you disputing that, or are you just saying it was a sufficiently complex inference to be drawn that there should have been some expert to draw it?
Are you referring now to the Coal Ridge Waste?
I don't care. Okay. Don't care.
Excuse me a second. Well, you can probably sense Broomfield's frustration with the way this process unfolded. Broomfield presented its case in chief, rested its case, FRICO presented no evidence, and then post-trial, FRICO receives a brief including all these analyses, which it did not have a chance to address. Broomfield asked the court to disregard the analysis because it was post-trial and that it was based on engineering assumptions that were not put into evidence. The court agreed. I think the court was correct. I think that's the way the process has worked for a long period of time, and I think that's the way the statute states that, once you put on your prima facie case, the burden shifts. And FRICO didn't pick up the burden until it argued after the fact.
And so when you said based on engineering assumptions that were not proven or established, I take it then what you're saying is the inference that FRICO wants to draw from the evidence was not necessarily true or accurate or undisputed.
That's correct.
Okay.
The inference was not undisputed.
So, in effect, that's because I take it to some extent their argument seems to be the evidence that you yourself put in demonstrates, if one just analyzes it properly, that you are asking to change a water right beyond that which you have, that you're expanding your water right. But you're saying, no, that evidence is not there. One couldn't draw that inference without making some further determinations that would have to be resolved by a fact finder, whether they're true or not. Is that right?
It's reasonably close to what we're saying. Yes.
Okay.
Well, if it's your evidence, I mean, I guess maybe we're kind of honing in on this now, that they're relying upon for their analysis, then the foundation for that evidence was put into the trial by you all. What is it that you object to about it, other than it's, for lack of a better word, manipulation adversely to your interest?
When you're talking about the evidence that the judge relied on is what we're arguing is persuasive to the trial court.
Which was presented by you all.
By us also.
Right.
And but part of the evidence that Fryko refers to as being our evidence were exhibits which we'd endorsed before trial and Fryko introduced. When you go through the record, you'll see there were several of those. And Fryko 4 was Fryko's exhibit, which actually an Inglewood exhibit from Fryko 2002 CW403. The other thing that's frustrating about this case is that Fryko's opening statement and half of its argument in its brief post-trial was an attack upon the judge's rulings in its 2002 CW403 case. So we had to deal with that also, and we argued, and the judge agreed he would not reconsider his rulings in the 403 case in our case. And a lot of Fryko's arguments today seem to be in the same line.
Mr. Curtis, I can appreciate that it may be or may have been frustrating, and that some arguments sort of appeared afterwards that weren't dealt with before. I'm sort of taking how it appeared from your perspective. Your original answer to Justice Bender's question about the difference between argument and evidence when you're looking at the analysis in the decree was very factually specific. And I think that some of us at least are trying to think of it a little more conceptually. And I just wonder if you have any additional comment conceptually, not specifically factual, as to how do you draw that line between, is this just an argument? Or is this something that requires evidence in order to support? I mean, one thing that you were asked about is, are you talking about because it's so complex, or are you talking about it because you can't make these inferences without additional evidence, or does the distinction lie instead perhaps in whether the trial court should be considered capable of making that analysis without some additional expertise? Where does that distinction lie principally?
That's a multiple choice question, I think.
Well, I've suggested several possibilities, but I'm hoping actually maybe you say none of the above and give me the real answer here.
The way the system works is that the experts help the trial judge understand all these issues regarding return flows, diversions, priorities, and storage in priority. And the judge relied on Broomfield's experts in making those determinations that water was diverted in priority, that water was under the original lengths of the ditch in the 1883 decree, that the Coleridge wastewater was delivered in priority because Fryko didn't put in any evidence showing it was delivered out of priority. Fryko's analysis just compared dates, assumed 2 or 3 days of transport time, because there's a long divide, there's many, many miles of ditch, 30 miles, 40 miles of ditch between Boulder Creek and where the water store in the South Platte.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Maybe I can help you out here a little
bit. Thank you.
It seems like on one score, it's very clear that the judge said, look, the inconsistencies in the Water Commissioner records offered by Fryko are not reliable, that, right?
That's correct.
So that's the ruling by the trial court. It's an evidentiary grounds. There's an insufficient foundation. We understand that. What about the rest of the stuff? And the problem is that, at least in thinking about it, I can only speak for myself, that oftentimes lawyers argue facts, you know, as argument, usually after the end of the evidentiary period. And that's considered argument, not expert evidence. And the question I think that Justice Martinez is trying to hone in on is how do we look at this case? I mean, essentially, what we hear Mr. Acault saying, or I hear Mr. Acault saying, is, "Hey, I didn't get a chance to argue the evidence in this case." Now, he's clearly wrong about that one piece, as the judge said, at least on that issue. But what about the rest of it? And I think it's helpful to give us a broader picture, like Justice Martinez was saying, so that we can understand it.
Well, there are only two analyses that the based on the facts that Freichel presented. One is the analysis of Freichel 4, the old water commissioner records, which the judge said were too inconsistent to be reliable, and he accepted the decrees as establishing the original links of the ditches in the 1883 decree. The other piece of evidence that Mr. Akold analyzed were the diversion records from District 6 versus District 2. And frankly, I cannot explain why the dates don't exactly match, because that question was not asked at trial of any witness. And that would be something that should have put an expert witness on, so we could analyze or ask cross-examination questions with regard to that issue.
So that's the basis, and that topic was testified to by your expert?
Our experts and the water commissioners, and Ms. Ashworth, our expert engineer, stated that a reasonable engineering assumption is that water commissioners administer rights in priority, and the water would not have been stored except in priority. The judge relied on that and cited the Midway Ranches cases, which this court said that this court will assume that water officials perform their duties and administer in delivering water rights. We think that should have been rejected in Mr. Akold's argument.
And there was no cross-examination on the points that were raised by the arguments that were raised in the post-trial, post-decree stuff?
That's correct. With regard to transit times and with regard to whether the water was actually out of priority on Boulder Creek. There was no call analysis or other analysis presented, or no evidence of water rights in priority.
What you've argued is that on all key points, he's made findings that basically say there's no enlargement, the water was diverted in priority, the historical period of record takes into account wet years, average years, dry years. It's a representative period. The amounts that are in the decree, I'm talking about the decree that he entered, that there is evidence supporting each of those findings, and the ultimate conclusion of law is that the burden of proof was carried by Broomfield on the change of water rate, right?
Yes.
So my question to you is, let's assume we agree with Mr. Akol and we send this back. What happens in the water court on remand?
I guess you'd have to reopen all the evidence, including evidence as to water delivered under the historic links of the Light Brighton Ditch and the Lupton Bottom Ditch. We don't think you have to do that. We think the new Brattner...
Well, now Mr. Akold said that no new evidence need be presented. He apparently wants a water judge to reanalyze the evidence and enter a different decree. I mean, that's what I heard.
Yes, that's what he said. But is that what a court should do once the court's finally determined its ruling based on the evidence that was before us and drawn the proper inferences based on the testimony that was before us? I think this is like the Buffalo Park case, where the applicant said, well, we'll put on more evidence. We can pipe the water up and perform augmentation, or truck the water up and perform augmentation. And this court said, you know, this case is several years old. You had an opportunity to do that at trial, and we're not going to allow the reopening of the evidence. So I think it does require reopening of the evidence, and I don't think this court should allow it. Reopening the evidence would be what priorities were actually being diverted on Boulder Creek. Was this water actually out of priority? For the ditches, the Brattner case, which I referred to, the 1919 case, I think it's important the court look at that case. The Brattner Ditch was originally built in 1860. It was extended in 1863, 1872, and 1881. It was adjudicated in the original decree for District 2, which is the South Platte below Denver, in that 1883 decree. It was four priorities, one for each of the years, 1860, 1863, 1872, and 1881. That's the same adjudication in which the Lupton Bottom Ditch was decreed. Lupton Bottom Ditch was decreed two priorities. One is 1863 and one is 1873. Brighton Ditch was adjudicating the same priority. It obtained two priorities, 1863 and 1871, both which were years before the 1883 adjudication. The new brand, or the Radnor Ditch, conveyed its ditch to the Mutual Ditch Company prior to the 1883 adjudication, the new Radnor Ditch Company. This is true for the Lupton Bottom Ditch. This is true for the Brighton Ditch. The decrees to the Radnor Ditch did not differentiate between segments or reaches of delivery for the four priorities. Fripe was arguing here that the court should have limited the 1863 priority for the Lupton Bottom Ditch to its first 4 miles, and that it should have limited the first priority for the Brighton Ditch for the first 5 miles. The evidence showed at trial that Broomfield's water rights were historically used within the 11-mile reach of the Lupton Bottom Ditch, and for the Brighton Ditch within the 8-mile reach of that ditch. The judge's findings that the water rights were used pursuant to the original decrees is supported by the record, and the determination should be affirmed. After the 1883 decree, the Brandner Ditch was used throughout the ditch for all the priorities. Same was true for the Brighton Ditch. Same is true for the Lupton Bottom Ditch, as was established by the record. The case that is not on point, which Freifeld argued in its brief in this court, is John's Flood 2, which is 210 P. Second 982, a 1949 case. It's called John's Flood 2 because there was a John's Flood 1 in 1947. There is no similarity to the decrees for Brighton Ditch and the Lupton Bottom Ditch. In John's Flood 2, which is a Division 2 Arkansas River case, the John's Flood Ditch was decreed in 1903 with early priorities prior to 1872. 16 years later, in 1919, the Modell Land and Irrigation Company purchased 2,000 acres of land under the John's Flood Ditch, 60% of the ditch and half of the early priorities. The ditch was extended. It was extended by Modell to its reservoir, the Modell Reservoir. Thereafter, water was diverted into the ditch and when not used under John's Flood Ditch, and was carried to the Modell Reservoir and irrigated an additional 20,000 acres of land. That is this case. Our ditch existed in 1883 to the extent that it already served the lands that are Broomfield's. I want to talk a little bit about the Slate Ditch. The Slate Ditch is also governed by the Brantner case. The Slate Ditch was limited by its two decrees in 1924 for the 1917 right to 300 acres, and in 1918 for the 1893 right to 300 acres. Broomfield's expert witness testified that Broomfield's lands are within the 300 acres under both decrees. The 1893.
Would you tell me whether that's because an equivalent amount of land went out of production and then another piece was added, or that basically the proof is that this was always this Salinas, is that property was always within the 300 acres?
It's always within the 300.
There's no de facto change based on the evidence that's in the record?
No, there's not.
So why the discrepancy here now between the two of you?
The discrepancy
is it just a mislocation of where the Salinas property is?
I think it's Mr. Eichholz created a map that's in his brief, which attempts to show the location of the Salinas parcel versus the lands which are in the 1893 statement of claim, or map and statement. The 1893 map and statement were outdated by 1914, when the Slate Ditch Company, which had then acquired as a mutual ditch company, the J&S Ditch, which is also known as Slate Ditch, they filed their own map and statement, or statement of claim, which showed that the ditch extended through Section 25, and the words are through Section 25, and the section just north of the 25 is Section 24, which is where the Salinas parcel is. So there's the discrepancy. The Corky Cantrell, the secretary of the ditch company, the Lupton Meadows Ditch Company, testified that the shares that irrigated the Salinas lands were within 1.5 to 2 miles of the headgate. The judge found accordingly that Salinas lands were within the 300 acres, they were within 1.5 to 2 miles of the headgate, and therefore they lay under the original decree. In any case, I think the Jones Ditch case fit this situation to. There's 300 acres irrigated then, there's 300 acres irrigated now, and the Salinas lands are within 300 acres. I'll mention briefly seepage gains and losses. The case which we think is on point is the Fort Morgan case from 1922. In that case, as in Comstock v. Ramsey, water users sought to capture return flows, losing their water rights, and have those flows delivered for their use independent of the call of the river. This is not our case. Broomfield is not seeking to claim seepage gains as part of the original priorities. It is not seeking to claim seepage gains as part of the, as an independent priority. Broomfield's engineers testified that they claim no accretions to either ditch in their determination.
So are you saying we don't need to address this issue?
You don't need to address this issue. We didn't. Broomfield didn't claim it. It's not a fact. Before the trial court ruled, we didn't claim it, so it's not an issue.
And apparently there's another case where it is an issue, and do we need to hold this opinion until we hear that case, or not,
so.
In your view?
You can rule on the facts in this case. It's not a factual issue in this case because Broomfield didn't claim the accretions and determine it as the court will in 2002 CW 403. But I'd like to conclude that Broomfield had ample opportunity at trial to present evidence and failed to do so. FRICO ultimately attacks the court's rejection of its post-trial motions and arguments. The water court did not reject FRICO's arguments because they were submitted in the form of decree findings. The water court rejected FRICO's arguments because they were not supported by the evidence at trial. The court made its evidence, or took the evidence into consideration and made its conclusion based on the evidence at trial, and did not consider FRICO's post-trial evidence, which consisted of analyses which were not offered at trial and not subjected to cross-examination or rebuttal. The court did consider FRICO's Exhibit 4, but not its analysis. Due to the inconsistency of those Water Commissioner records, the court determined that they were unreliable and therefore rejected FRICO's arguments based on those records. FRICO's arguments that only 40% of the recorded storage amounts in Coleridge Waste Reservoir were not supported by the evidence at trial. The court concluded it would not consider FRICO's evidence regarding out-of-priority storage. Further, the court rejected that argument because it was entirely based on speculation, which was not in the record. The uncontradicted testimony of the Water Commissioners and of Broomfield's engineers showed that the Boulder Creek water was diverted in priority to Coleridge Waste Reservoir. Thank you.
On behalf of the court, I want to thank both counsel for your arguments. The case will stand submitted, and court will take